Okay, I hope the recording can hear me. We will find out later. And F5, I believe. Okay.
So, is my lesson sheet out?
So, here we go. We got about 20 minutes till 10:45. Well, we're just going to jump right in and see how far we can get with this. Hope we can get through it all. This is kind of a short lesson compared to most weeks because we have all the introduction stuff. Next week, I guess we'll have a little bit of introduction stuff, but we'll kind of jump right in more stuff. Okay, here we go. Sharpen Your Faith is the name of this class. So if we're going to sharpen our faith, it's probably important to talk about what is faith. Okay? So here's my first question for the roundtables. You all now have a chance to interact with one another. What is faith? Will the body of Christ interact with one another? Take a couple minutes. Go. What do you think faith is?
Thank you.
beyond sense.
I mean, if there's some kind of, if you make decisions and you have actions based on things that aren't like necessarily humanly there, and that is a lot of trust, doesn't it? Okay. Do we have some more thoughts on faith? Pretty much we have most of them. We all know a lot about trust. Okay. So faith. Like you all said, reliance, loyalty, and trust in God. You know, one of the things I'll just say by way of introduction is, doesn't God put us in circumstances that we need to have faith? Doesn't he engineer our lives that sometimes, this is what I say to myself, it's kind of ridiculous sometimes, but I sometimes say to myself, well, God, I guess I'm going to have to trust you. And I think about it later, of course I'm going to have to trust you, because that is the whole idea. I mean, one of the things we see throughout the scriptures, God always honors faith. With anyone, he always honors faith. Anyone is called great if they have faith. Faith is the key. The other thing I would say by way of introduction is just that, you know, we all have more faith than we do. And the reason for that is, let me just kind of ask this question. It's not going to be a round table, just I'm going to throw out a question. What kinds of things did you have faith in this morning to the church building here? What kinds of things did you have faith in? Yeah, your car would start. Some people have less faith than others. Okay, I'm sorry, what was your name?
Earl.
Earl, okay, thank you, Earl. What's your name? Linda, okay, Linda. So there's sort of an expectation, right, that you go through life and multiply. What other things do we have faith in this morning? To get here. Right, I'm sorry, what's your name?
Sharon.
Sharon, great,
yeah.
Sharon. Okay, yeah, there was an expectation that, like, we were coming to something that actually existed, right? Name? Doug, great. So, anybody know, where does the Bible contain the definition of faith? What verse is that?
Romans
Hebrews 11:1. We're all in turn there. And part of once again, this is by way of introduction. Part of the biblical literacy part is hopefully we can just get faster and turn to our Bibles, okay? So let me just give you a little device that I always use for the New Testament. We're in the New Testament a lot. There's the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, of course. And then after the four Gospels, the continuation of Luke is pretty much Acts. Like it just continues his writing history. Then we've got, these are all Paul's letters. Not me. Okay, so we got Romans first, 2 Corinthians. Okay. And then after 1st, 2nd Corinthians, we got the little mnemonic device I like to call God's electric power company. Okay, God's electric power company. Galatians 3 and Philippians Colossians. Everybody gets confused. Galatians 3 and Philippians Colossians. God's electric power company, okay? And then the neat little mnemonic device is we have all the T books. Okay? In alphabetical and numerical order. 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, and Titus. Okay, these are all Paul's letters. And then we have Philemon in here. Okay? So 1st and 2nd Thess, 1st and 2nd Tim, Titus. Okay? And then Philemon. And then that's the end of Paul's letters. And the rest you just kind of remember. So again, yeah, Hebrews and James, then 1 through 3 John, then Jude and Revelation. Okay. So, okay. Anyway, Hebrews is towards the back, right back here. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. So who's got a loud voice? Somebody who knew where it was. Would like to read that?
Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see.
Okay.
This is what the ancients were doing.
So, it's the certainty of things hoped for and the assurance of things unseen. Okay? It's taking what we don't see and hoping in it, and it's taking things that we don't necessarily, that haven't necessarily come to pass, and presupposing that they will happen on faith. Okay? That's what faith is. Now, another thing on here, it's, I would add, this is kind of a nuance of it, okay? When it comes to faith, faith in God and faith in Christ, it's kind of seeing the world from God's perspective, through the eyes of faith. Think about it this way. We have never seen God, but we're always kind of acting that he's there. I mean, just to be in this class and to spend time to study about him, to study his ways, to study what he has for us and the blessings he's going to give to us, we're assuming that we see what he's doing in the world, right? We see what he's doing in our lives. We see how, like, our love for one another is evidence that he's really there. And so what I would suggest is keep in mind that faith is seeing circumstances and seeing our world through God's eyes, okay? One of the best prayers I think we can pray is, God, give me eyes to see what you see today. Because that will revolutionize the way we see our world. We'll see people not just for who they are, but for who God sees them.
I wish I had a wireless clicker. Try to get one. Okay, we often walk by faith, not by sight.
Here's the question I'm going to throw out. What does this mean? And I've given you that scripture to turn to in the meantime. 2 Corinthians, back here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So, throw out a question. You walk by faith, not by sight. What does this mean? You hear that phrase all the time, right? Some thoughts, what does this mean? Well, can you begin? I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Sean.
Right.
Go ahead.
Because we're willing to accept the fact that we don't always see it.
Don't always have the faith in one. Not always see anything. Name again.
I just recently read a book called Faith is Not Faith. And it was very intriguing because she talked about the fact that we have to know, first of all, what God's promises are. That those are promises
faith, not by sight. So we're walking, knowing the promise is already there, though they're unseen. Wow. Okay, let's take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 16 through 18. Somebody in a hand volunteer to read? 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 16 through 18.
That is okay. Why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying and our spirits are being renewed every day, for our present troubles are quite small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us an immeasurably great glory that will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see right now. Rather, we look forward to what we have not yet seen. For the troubles we see will be soon over, but the joys will come. But the joys to come will last forever.
Okay. And part of the reason I like us reading, sometimes we get a lot of questions from the audience, because we get different versions, so you can kind of look along, so kind of the differences that you're on.
Okay. So, did the wrong thing. Okay. So I'm going to propose to you a way to think about what's going on in verses 16 through 18. This is Paul writing here. And he says, you know, we're being wasted away outwardly, and inside we're being renewed day by day. We have light and momentary troubles. There's an eternal glory. And then he says, we fix our eyes not on the seen, who is unseen. He says, seen is temporary, unseen is eternal. Okay? What you notice here is I got a line. Okay? The best way I think we can think about this is sometimes we don't always realize certain things Jesus says to his like hearers are above the line, and certain things he says are below the line. Like he says, if you try to save your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life, you'll save it. If you try to save your life temporary, you'll lose your life, eternal life, right? If you lose your life temporary, you'll actually gain it, eternal, right? So here are the phrases that kind of go along with above the line, below the line. So, I mean, we've got all the things that are temporary, our outward things, our light and momentary troubles, what is seen, what's temporary, okay? Then we've got other things that are eternal. We do not lose heart. Inwardly, we're wasting away. But we look forward to that eternal glory. Fixing our eyes, not what is seen, but what is unseen, what's actually eternal. Now, here's the deal, guys. Think about it here. These two words, that's why verse 18 is the most quoted of all of those verses. Eternal and temporary, if you think about it, everything in this world that you own, you know, one day be in a junkyard or a landfill, right? Okay? So one of the things we should do is we should live for what's eternal, because we know what's going to last. Anything we invest into what's eternal, what's going to happen is when it starts to increase, it will never kind of diminish. You know what I'm saying? When we invest in like material things, then we know they're going to diminish one day, or they'll just be lost. And one verse I'd like to take a look at to keep this in mind from a very practical standpoint is 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 7. And we'll just go there real quick and I'll read it. So go to the T-books, back to the right. Once again, still Paul's letters. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 7. He's talking about possessions here and the love of money. And the reason this has to do with faith is because, remember, faith is the certainty of things hoped for and the assurance of things unseen. So what we're doing is we're saying, okay, God, here's what you said. You said to act on faith. So I'm going to invest in what's eternal. I'm going to invest in things that I can't see. I'm going to invest in the love in relationships. I'm going to invest in spending time with you, though I don't see you. I'm going to invest in things like sharing my faith, because people can actually go with me. It won't pass away. I'm going to invest in things like growing in my faith and making a difference in other people's lives, because other people's lives are going to go on. You see? And see, there's this big difference. Paul's trying to get it in our minds, right? It's above the line, below the line. There's two, it's like a dichotomy. There's two things. What we can see is what's here, but what we don't see is actually, he's saying, what we don't see is really real.
what this is real, but what we don't see is more like really real. It's like the more materially, certainly, actually real. I mean, forgive me for being redundant, but that's what he's saying. He's saying it's going to last. We don't see it, but it is going to last. So if you look at 1 Timothy 6 and verse 7, he says, "For we brought nothing into this world, and we could take nothing out of it." What a good reminder. I mean, Rick Warren, The Purpose-Driven Life, says there are no U-Hauls behind purses. It's so true, though. I mean, you know, at the moment on your deathbed, you're not going to be asking for your trophies, for your degrees, for your bank account. You're going to be asking for people who love you. You're going to be asking for them to show you things that are eternal. And when people talk about your life, they're not going to talk about how much money you make. They're probably going to talk about what kind of a life you live. Okay? So, above the line, below the line. So maybe what will be useful to put our faith into practice is to think about what things are above the line that I'm investing in my life and what things are below the line. Things below the line aren't necessarily bad. We just have to keep in mind they're going to pass away. Make sense? Okay. So, what are the components of faith? And we have three scriptures to go along with these. And I think you have them listed on your sheet. And so, if we can why don't we have maybe this table turn to the first one, this table turn to the second one, this table turn to the third one. That way we can, because we're kind of running a little bit on time here. But we're getting there. Okay. We're almost to the end of the lesson. Okay. So we have the first one, which we were at, Hebrews 11. So the first table, somebody read that quickly. Okay, so what's the first component of faith? Belief, right. The first thing we have to do is we have to believe that he actually exists, right? If you all were here for the sermon Dick Thoth gave several weeks ago, one of the things he said about God being the I Am is, he's the God who is. He just is. The beginning of all trust, the beginning of all faith in God is that we believe he's there. Because he says, I am. That's his name. But sometimes, functionally, throughout the week, that's not always true. Okay? We don't necessarily believe he's there. We don't believe we can reach out and touch him or tap into his power. So believing that he's there, that's the first part of faith. Second table, the next scripture, please. Okay, that's Jesus talking. So what do you think it is? Okay, we've talked about it a lot already. Trust. Yep. That's pretty self-explanatory. We've talked about that. We've unpacked that a little bit. And then what's the third one? Somebody at table three, James chapter 2, and verses 14 through 17.
Actually, dear brothers and sisters, what's the use of saying your faith? You don't do it by your actions.
Yeah, and on it goes. So, action, sure. And William, you did touch on that with the idea up here. So, faith demands an action. You don't have faith that your car would start this morning until you actually went out and started it and started to drive it, right? It takes more faith to act on something that we believe to be there than just to say, well, I sort of believe it, and I'm not going to act on it at all. So that's why James says, can such faith save him? Think about this quote from Martin Luther. He says, it is faith alone that saves, but the faith that saves is never alone. He's probably got James chapter 2 in mind. What does that quote really say? Sorry, we're getting a little late here, but we'll try to move through this. So what does that quote really say? Right. Exactly. Exactly. And so, one verse I should have put down, I believe, is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. We're not going to have a chance to read it, but the idea is, he says, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription. The Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who calls the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. Okay? So the first is for God. The Lord knows those who are his. He knows those who are playing the church game. Okay? He knows those who don't have regular faith. He is not mocked. He is not fooled. The Lord knows those who are his. So that's good, because everybody who's a true Christian, God knows. But the second part is for us. Okay? The second part is, everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. If confessed, must turn. If confessed, must turn. So what do we find out? That it's faith. That makes sense? Faith and Christ lead to salvation and good works. Martin Luther says, it's faith alone that saves. Faith in Jesus. But the faith that saves, it's never alone. It is never alone. Now, let me challenge you all with this. If you see a person who confesses to be a Christian, but you see no proof, okay, I would ask him the questions, how has Jesus changed your life? In what ways do you see your salvation working out? Okay? I'm not trying to scare anyone. I'm just trying to say, this is what the Bible says. All I'm saying is, this is what genuine faith is. Does that make sense? Is this important? This is important stuff, okay?
All right, move on. All right, I guess we'll just plow through this because we're kind of late. All right, we won't have time to look at the verses. I wish we did. Basically, you look at the verses at home. There's sort of, the Bible talks about three stages of faith. This is the story of the disciples are in the boat. You guys know the story? The storm comes, and then Jesus is like, or I'm sorry, Jesus is in the bottom of the boat, and since it's such a great storm, you know, it's kind of a rocking back and forth, so he'd be asleep. And then, you know, the disciples are like, Lord, get up. We are going to drown. Don't you even care? And then he gets up, rebukes the storm, and he says, why did you doubt? You of little faith. I mean, it kind of amazes me sometimes. What kind of names do you used to call the disciples? He used to call them dull. I'd probably say the same thing with me. But anyway, so little faith says, I know he can, but I'm not sure he will. It's kind of like, it's wavering faith, struggling faith. There's not a certainty there. There's not a, you know, you just pray. And by the way, let me just qualify this with one thing. We all in the Christian life start with little faith. Little faith is not a sin. You may start and you may pray and God may not answer it. And you may think, well, you know, God doesn't really love me. But that is not a sin at first, because we all start with little faith. But what happens is, pretty soon we start to see a couple things that God comes through on. And I say, God, I'm going to trust you with greater things. And then we move on to great faith. This is the story earlier in that chapter of the Roman centurion. He says, Lord, you know, somebody's sick. I forget who it is. But he's like, just say the word and the person will be well. You know, I'm a man under authority. I say to this soldier, you know, you go and do something, and he does it. And he says, in the same way, Lord, I believe if you say somebody be healed, it'll be done. And Jesus says, I have not even seen such great faith in all of Israel. And this guy was a Gentile. So great faith is, I know he can, and I know he will. There's an idea of, I don't know when he will, but I understand God's promise. I understand God's faithfulness. I understand that God comes through for me. I've seen him come through before. I have past faith experiences. I can have great faith. Perfect faith. You say, where do you get that from? If you look in James 2, 21 through 23, it talks about Abraham's faith was perfected. Okay? Let me just basically cut to the chase here. If Abraham had little faith, when he went to take Isaac to the altar, he probably would have said, about the sacrifice, he would have said, God might provide the sacrifice, but I don't think he will. If Abraham had great faith going up to the sacrifice, he would have said, Isaac, I, as far as the sacrifice goes, I think God will do it. He's been trustworthy up to this point. I think he'll do it. What Abraham said was,
The Lord himself will provide a sacrifice. There was a deep trust in God to the point where it was beyond, I think he will. It was beyond just the promise that God gave him. Great faith is marked by a peace and a rest. That this God that we trust in is so much above our circumstances that one of the things is we could just say, he said it, it's done. I can just rest. One of the I wrote down a scripture here that I wanted to mention, and that is Hebrews chapter 4, verses 6 through 11. On your own time, but the thrust of that passage is, it says, let us all strive to enter into God's rest. And the idea is, have you guys ever had a conversation with Pastor Derry? Isn't it amazing? Whatever problem you bring to him, he's just kind of, there's a rest. There's a peace. God is so infused in his life that he knows that no matter what your problem is, God will get you through it. Not he won't get you through it, but God will get you through it. He doesn't know when. He doesn't know what the promise is. He doesn't have to have a Bible verse for it. But he has perfect faith that God is sovereign. Okay. A couple little thoughts how we will know what act in faith. And I'm sorry, we're running so late. Some of you got kids. Okay. Here we go. Seek God for genuine faith, not for more faith. Okay. One of the things we've learned from, this is the mustard seed story. You guys know the mustard seed story? Jesus says, you know, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you know, then, you know, you can save this mountain, throw yourself into the sea. And what he's really trying to communicate there, I believe, is that it's not the size of our faith, but it's how genuine it is. Because if you think about it, even if you have a small bit of faith, even if you haven't seen a lot of miracles, even if you don't have a lot of evidence, a small mustard seed can grow into a big, big tree. And the idea is, even if you only have like a little basis for your faith, a couple experiences, you can have great or even perfect faith. So we're to seek God for genuine faith, not for more faith. Because sometimes we pray for more faith. Our faith is only as good as the object of our faith. You know, in one of Paul's letters, he says, there are many gospels, there are many Jesuses. We need to seek the right Jesus, because one of the things they do in Acts chapter 3 and verse 16 is they heal a guy, and then Peter comes before him and he says, look, we healed the guy in Jesus' name. And so Jesus' name, there's authority with that name. So faith is only as good as the object of our faith. Faith is shown by the size, things we trust God in. You know, if you think about it, if you're only really praying, you know, God, do you want to buy a blue or a red shirt? I mean, then it's like, you're not really trusting God with the bigger things. But then later that day, you say, oh my goodness, like, I don't see how my finances are going to work out. I got to try to fix this on my own. You see, God wants you to trust him in both those circumstances. He wants us to trust him. And the larger the things that we trust him with, it's an indication that our faith is growing stronger. The last thing, like I already said, faith is demonstrated by our ability to rest on Christ. To rest. And that goes back to that Hebrews 4, 16, 6 through 11. The idea is perfect faith is marked by peace and rest. This is one quote that I hope you all really get into your hearts. I say this to myself probably 10 times a day by the old English preacher Martin Lloyd-Jones. Faith is the refusal. I just think that's so beautiful. I mean, it's about God and his love for us and the fact that we can trust him and we can act even though we don't see things like we talked about. Expanding on this quote, Dennis Rainey, this is his favorite quote, this is what he says. We serve a God who is much more in control than you realize. You and I must learn to trust him. If we can trust him, he can work it out. He has his will. He just wants our faith and our hearts and our obedience. The question is, that's faith. And we're kind of late. Thank you all for staying. I will close in prayer. I'll give you a little challenge at the end. Heavenly Father God, we are just so thankful, Lord, that even though we had a rust-driven end, Lord God, we have your scripture, Lord, to look back at. God, faith is not mysterious to us, Lord, because it reveals to us what faith really is. Lord, we are so thankful, Lord, that we can trust in you. God, that no matter what the circumstance, Lord, we can trust in you and love you. God, show us how to live. Lord, move us on to great faith and perfect faith. God, that we would rest in you. Lord, give us the ability of peace and trust that surpasses all things. God, you can be in love with Jesus Christ. I thank my brothers and sisters here. Let's pray, Lord, that God, that you would cause us to grow this semester. God, even more people, Lord, that you would come to this class. We just thank you, Lord, for this day. As we go and serve the rest of the family, we pray, Lord, that you would ask for it. All right. And, you like that sword? It's kind of hot. Well,
it's on fire, it's really hot.
But anyway, here are just a couple of challenges. Write down a piece of paper or a journal about the situation that you realize God is directing you from the company. And then write down three specific ways that you have to show your faith.